Back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to trust God for my eyes because I don't have my glasses here, but that's all right. I don't think I do. I feel like that guy out of Peter Pan and forgot his marbles. Okay, well, we're at chapter 5, and you know, we're thankful here. We're continuing on in this precious encouragement, the masterpiece of grace, and what he's done with that grace to make us his masterpiece. And that's all that can do it. That's all that can make this and cause us to grow up into him in all things. Because he's grace. That's who he is. And that's what that will do, is it'll bring forth that grace for grace. I'm seeing it more and more. That grace that he gives for the grace, praise God, that he's going to receive. That glory, hallelujah, that will come forth out of her for him. And as we entered into this fifth chapter, we saw, and right away in tune with it, and God is showing it and making it known to us that it's a walk in love. That's what it is. It's as it says there in the second verse, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So you see that as the Lord would encourage us to walk in the love as Christ has loved us, not in some type of manufactured gooey love that's not love at all anyways, but truly this love in the truth, the love of the bridal message, the love of, Lord, I want my brethren to win. I want to win with them. I want them, by the grace of God, just a desire, Lord, to see you receive your crown. Oh my, there isn't anything more. There isn't anything to be compared. And I know you love me like that because that's the love of Christ, and this is exactly what this is. And we thank God that in that love, it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him. It's something that only the Lord can do in our lives that, you know, truly, he begins to live in a fullness, brothers and sisters, that we begin to give ourselves. We surrender, we submit. And it's a willingness. It's a joy to. It's like the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. It's not a duty. It's love. It's a desire. And it's a passion. And it's a privilege, and it's a joy, and it's everything. And so this is what God has enjoined us into. Now, this walk in love, it establishes everything of the intent of the whole Word of God, but especially of this fifth chapter. You can understand and you can take on the surface as things that the Word of God encourages us in, okay? Not to be lascivious, not to be in a fornicator or an adulterer, in a sense of the acts of it. Those are things God has made that very plain to us. And God, help us, because I need help. You need help. Because I know that every sin of this world is right here in this flesh. But for the grace of God, let me tell you something. Yeah, there go I. But for the grace of God, you'd do anything. But for the grace of God, you'd do everything. And understand that. That's why I tell you what, not only don't pick up a rock, get away from rocks. Don't go throwing them, and if you think so, hit yourself in the head first and then drop it. Because that's really where we're at. And I think we all understand that. And I think as God draws us into this, there's such a brokenness that we come to the Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am, and Lord, you love me. Oh, and what you're doing in our lives. And this is what's so exciting, is truly the grace of God being made manifest in us. Now, like I say, as you get into this and you understand this is a walk in love, and you understand this is much more than the surface meaning of this that you could just read in reading through this. This is the depth, and it's all about Christ and the church. As we're going to finish here tonight in this fifth chapter, we're going to come to that this is all speaking about the mystery of Christ in the church. He even makes it known. But it's like nobody gets to the end of the chapter and they want to talk about how, well, we got to live like this and we got to do this. This is talking about spiritual chastity. This is speaking about not fornicating with winds of doctrine. This is talking about being the chaste virgin to Christ. This is the one, praise the Lord, that has been espoused to one husband, one gospel, that there is no other gospel. This is the gospel to Mary, the Lamb of God. And I thank the Lord that we have this calling upon us. It's abiding in faith in love. It's fighting against, brothers and sisters, that nature that we all have, flesh. Fighting against the magnifying of it as we go along in this life as the sons of God. And it's the truth, and you know that. And remaining in that chaste virgin to this wonderful gospel. Staying in first love. Abiding only in this gospel and this bridal calling till He come. And not flatlining in it. You're not abiding in it if you're flatlining. You're not. You know that. It's a growth. There's no other love like this. There's no other marriage like this. There isn't. And I'm not waiting to be married. I'm thankful to God. The moment I said, I'll go, it was the same as saying, I do. And that was it. We're done. We're going. And now, by the grace of God, I just ride upon that camel right to my bridegroom, praise God, and his servant, that wonderful Holy Ghost, just continuing to minister to me about how the bridegroom loves me all the way along. Oh, it's fabulous. And we all know this and we share this together. But tonight, now we get to verse 18. And verse 18 of the fifth chapter is so wonderful because now we're hitting the full power that is in the masterpiece of grace. And we're talking about all the power that is in the masterpiece of grace. And here it is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that marvelous? Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. And not defending anything, there's nothing wrong with wine, but it would be wrong in a sense to be drunken with anything but in life. Be intoxicated with anything in life but the Holy Ghost. That's who you need to be intoxicated with. That's who you need to be full of. And that's what this filled means. It means full and full completely, abounding in every way in the Holy Ghost. So let's talk about that. That would be love shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. Thank the Lord. Then I want to be here. I'm here to hear the word of God. Amen. But in hearing the word of God and hearing it in truth and love, I'm here to love. I'm here to grow in love. I'm here to be in love. I'm here to be with my love. You're the body of my love. I'm the body of your love. Hallelujah. It's the truth. He's our head. Here's the body. And I thank God that this is how the Lord, if this truly works effectually in us in this walk of love, this is how we interact. This is our living, and this is how we are alive and remaining till He comes. And it does. Now, love shed abroad, abiding in the most holy faith. Praise God. Set apart to Him in that. Standing for the truth. Stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. Amen. That there is no other gospel. And we stay in it, and we fight, and we fight the good fight of faith as we go along. What else? We abound in hope. And I love the prayer tonight that, Lord, we're loving your appearing. We're abounding in the hope of the coming of the Lord. And not someday, tonight, right now. Thank you, Jesus. And when I go home tonight, right now, by the grace of God, we know He's coming. And let's not forget, we understand that this encouragement of being full in this completeness of the Holy Ghost, once again, you're going to be led into all truth. You're going to be led into all truth. You really go on in the fullness. Just being filled doesn't mean you'll be led into all truth. But if you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something, you'll go into all truth. Because that's the only place the fullness of the Holy Ghost will take you. You understand that? That's going to be Paul's gospel. That's exactly what that's going to be. And it's going to be love that's going to be shed abroad in your heart. It's not just going to be knowing something. It's going to be alive in that. You're going to be in love. You're going to be walking in love. Hallelujah. You're going to be spiritual because that's what the Holy Ghost is. You're going to be spiritual to restore one another. Hallelujah. Encourage. Go on in the things of God. Be used of the Lord in that beautiful way. You're going to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's not forget, brothers and sisters, as Brother Paul said, and I will be thankful to always say this. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than ye all. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The Word of God tells us that. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you're at home and even sitting there and getting ready for breakfast, dinner, whatever it is, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you a little bit too. It's good. Sing in the shower in the Holy Ghost. Even if it's off key, it's still sweet. So that's being full. All those parts. It's just so gorgeous. And just let him do it. And once again, the Spirit will always lead us into all truth, and it will always go deeper. You'll want more. Yes, you will. You'll have a desire because that's what the Holy Ghost does to you. He gives you the desire. He gives you the panting and the passion. And again, when you're talking about the only one that could shed love abroad in your heart, we need it. That's the problem with ones that know this truth. They think they don't need more love. They think they've got it all. They think that they can set themselves apart in some way, and it's stoic or it's something of that nature. Let me tell you something. You get the love of Christ in your heart. You want to be around those that love. You want to be with them. You want them to minister to you. You want to be in that fellowship. You don't isolate yourself off. And it's just like I said, you know, you get married to somebody. What do? You come down here and say, I do. You went through all the ceremony. I'll see you in a month. You go, well, what is that? They'd say there's something wrong. That didn't mean anything to that fellow or that lady. No, you want to be together all the time. You're sick. You're love sick. You know what I'm saying? You know how when that happened to you and all, and your friends and different things that you like to do, that you quit doing them. It's not that you didn't want to, but you love something more. You wanted to be with something more than something you really thought you enjoyed. That kind of grew real pale real fast. I'm in love. That's what this gospel does. And I know we all say, thank you, Lord. I know that. Amen. And thank you, God, for doing that in my life. So, this love, brothers and sisters, loves always, and it loves more. These ones, and I thank God, this is the masterpiece of grace. We abound in hope till he come. We're full and overflowing by the grace of God in every way. Doesn't mean we don't have moments. Doesn't mean that we're not fought. Sometimes we have some real hard times. Deep trials, all those different things. But yet, there's always this little heartbeat of joy. Because we know these things. They're all working together. Oh, the glory that shall be revealed. Oh, you'll come forth more precious than gold tried in the fire. Oh, the exceeding eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. And it just keeps a chugging. You know what I'm saying. And you do, and you know God's got it. And then you shout, it's well, it's well, it's well, it's well. Thank you, God. Now, the fruit of his love. That's another thing that sprouts up in our hearts. This is what's going on even tonight. Praise God. There's a supplying, brothers and sisters. We don't try. Jesus just does it. Just being in this place, hearing this together. The Lord's supplying through us to one another. And we know it. And he just draws us to do it. The joy gets bigger. The coals burn brighter. And there's a benefit. Praise God to the entire rib as we glory in this together. Now, the Holy Ghost gives the desire and the desires of the pleasures of Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost brings. It's the truth. The Holy Ghost does not give us the natural man's desires. He gives us the desires of our precious bridegroom. That's it. And that's why, as we yield and as we allow the Holy Ghost to really saturate us in every way in that ministering of that journey. And the Lord shows us what that means. It means what's going on here tonight, that we're hearing this wonderful truth and love that God has given us. We've gathered, we're assembled ourselves together the much the more. No matter what was going on, no matter what was trying to attack, it's been stopped. Stopped. Doesn't mean that it's not still there, but it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Because we're locked in. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. And he can do that more and more and more throughout the day for us, doesn't he? Amen. People ask, well, how do I get over this? Or how does immerse, go in? Go in. Amen. And he does it, doesn't he? That's how the changing from glory to glory happens. It just, the Spirit's power. And we know this, brothers and sisters, it's not religious man's pleasures that I'm talking about. See, the Holy Ghost doesn't want us, he don't put stuff into, well, we got to build bigger barns and we have to have a bunch of missions and we have to have a mega reach and we have to have all of these works. That's all the evidence of the slumbering church. That's exactly what that is. That's the evidence of the church that's asleep. Because they got into things that weren't the perfect love. That's it. Got away from the things of what the Holy Ghost does. And all of those things I just listed, that's not part of what the Holy Ghost is about. Oh, no, it's not. The Holy Ghost, if this word is true, is about taking the bride to the husband. That's it. And there was nothing in between. That was the full intent and purpose of the Holy Ghost, was to go get the bride, to seek the true worshiper for the Father that would worship his Son in spirit and in truth. That's the evidence and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord. That's not a stretch. It's just the Word of God. And we know that. All that mystery, all of those stories, praise God, those Old Testament wonderful types and shadows we have, that's exactly what that is. It's exactly how all of that intends and the intention of it all. So we thank God for it. Now the Spirit's power is fervent love and worship. It's the kiss of the lovers. It's the bridal truth. And we want that. And we need it. Because that's how the wife makes herself ready. She makes herself ready by remaining in love. And growing in love. And she can't do that, can she? Because she can't do a thing. So there's got to be a power doing it. And once again, who is it? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost bringing us everything. And I thank God the prayers that go forth all the time, whether it's Lynn praying for her grandson, Sister May praying for the different ones. And we all lift up one another. And I appreciate you, brother. And again, that's God doing it in your life. And the Lord giving you the humility to know. You're hearing it drawn and how many times over and over in just my short time being pastor to see that. And you could see it starting to hit in that heart and going boom, boom, boom. And I always remember, oh, precious Paul Martinez. He ran to the door of the office right after that Wednesday night. He said, I got to have the Holy Ghost. He was banging on that thing. I said, oh, Paul, I love it. I said, you know what? I want you to go tarry with Brother Kevin in the morning. He said, I want to go with Brother Kevin right now. I said, no, you got to wait till the morning. I want you to go tarry with him. And so Kevin calls me. I think it was like about 7:30 in the morning. He said, who's this fellow you just sent over to my house? He's pounding on my door. I said, but he got filled real fast, didn't he? He said, man, that was the fastest guy getting filled I ever seen. I loved it. But that's what the Lord does. And he just does it. And there's a desire. And we need to just continue to pray. Never neglect it, brothers and sisters. This is what it's all about. Now, you think of what was happened here. Verses 3 through 17 that we've already gone through. It was telling us who are not. Who are not. And we're not those that are going to go on and fornicate with other winds of doctrine. We're not those that are going to leave the first love. We're not. Because we're trusting him. We're confident in grace. We know that. We know from the beginning of Ephesians that we have been chosen and we've been called. And we've been blessed with everything. He's enlightened the eyes of our understanding to see it. We understand and believe in the foreknowledge of the Lord, and we trust him that he will perform the good work which he's begun in us. We know and believe that we are apprehended of the bridegroom. And as Brother Paul said, that I may apprehend him. I appreciated his, again, the prayer that went up the other day. Lord, thank you. I'm ready to depart. Now, I'm not talking about departing the subway. I'm ready to depart the highway. I'm ready to depart off my camel. And I believe you, Lord, this got to be the last hill. I believe in the grace of God with you. That's what it is. And I believe, as Brother Paul, our precious, beloved cherubim, brother and friend Paul, not to me only, Jesse, not to me only, Alex, not to me only, Hagen. Amen. It's yours. All right. And I think that that word will work effectually the same way. He's no respecter of person. So my heart's beginning to pound. I'm ready to be offered. That's all glory to him. Now, by his grace, this is who we are. And now this is who the Lord is bringing us into in this verse 18 that we just read. Now we're going to break through. This is who we are. And we're going to understand even the more, brothers and sisters, the lily does not toil. Just be. The elect of God, just be. The sons, the mature sons, euios, be. We don't try. It's what he's given us, hallelujah, in his life. Now, going on here, let's remain ready. And here are her qualities, brothers and sisters. And I believe we see, again, this is the grace that's working in us. And once we receive this fullness of the Holy Ghost, the very first thing that breaks out is the joy unspeakable and full of glory, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Now let's read verse 19. Here's what happens. Speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I thank God, as just touched on that moments ago, all of that, think of how that's speaking to yourself. Isn't that something? That's the ministering that goes on with bridal saints. I thank the Lord to be able to profess him, but isn't that interesting? Most Christians are always about, who am I going to get to? Who am I going to minister to? Who am I? This is speaking to the one that's his own. You want to start to minister? Minister to yourself. Know who you are. Rejoice, praise God, in the new man. As David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, you will encourage the joints of the body. It is. It's gorgeous. It's just plain beautiful. And it's completely opposed to what religious man's mind thinks, isn't it? His thoughts are not our thoughts. And again, just read this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in where? Your heart to the Lord. Your heart. That's it. Even if you can't sing, your heart sure can. And you know, that's it. This is what's so gorgeous. And this is the joy that is within. This is the joy that I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. Yeah, praise God. It doesn't have to be this public outpouring and all. I'm thankful, brothers and sisters. It breaks forth, we know that, but it'll never break forth in its in the truth, in the reality, in the appearance of that genuine love until it breaks forth in you. All right? Praise God. Now, so what happens then? With all that joy, here's 20. Giving thanks always. 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 Now, if I'm giving thanks always, that must be a joyful sort. That must be a life that trusts in the Lord. Has to be. Because I'm living this life too. And I don't even think it's a 50-50 about the things I think it's going to work out. And then there's at least 25% that you close your eyes and go, oh no. And then I won't even talk about the 10%. You know what I'm saying? But there's something about the fullness of the Holy Ghost because of where he's taken us all the time. To the bridegroom. To the bridegroom. To the bridegroom. It's all working together for good. We're chugging along again. He directs my steps. He's the one. Those are the before ordained good walks, good works that we should walk therein. All that. It's the Holy Ghost. I'm just riding. He's directing. He's leading. And as long as by the grace of God, all of those things of the Holy Ghost are being received in this life. All truth, Paul's gospel. All love shed abroad, praise God. Worshiping in the Holy Ghost. All of those different things, brothers and sisters. It covers. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. All right. You know this too. I'm glad. We just say, thank you, Jesus. So that's everything. And notice it says, always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I mean, it's a constant prayer, isn't it? It's just a constant prayer. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I'll tell you, I've been thanking him for things. They've been thanking him for things I never wanted to thank him about. But he says, all things, always. I want you to really receive that tonight. Are you a work of grace? Are you just a work of, well, you call it grace, but it really has a little dash of self-righteousness in it. That ain't grace. That's called works. And that's when you get off the camel train. That's when you've unhooked it. It's down the race course. The race course is the grace course. There you go. All right? You write that one down. Okay. Now, what happens when we're joyful and thankful? Oh, let's read verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what's going on right now. I prefer you. I do, I prefer you. Yep. You know, as the Lord encouraged my heart to tell you, and I mean that. Lord, I'm confident however it's going to work. It's going to be perfect. But there are some spiritual encouragements that get in my heart. I do want to see you get your crown first. Not to be a great humble guy. But all that thrill. Preferring. Preferring. I mean, I'm looking out the royalty of God. It's marvelous. You know what I'm saying? And this is where we thank the Lord for one another. We do. because we need this supplying. And I thank God we know we need it. And that's why I thank God that by his grace, when we're wounded in this body, you want to help that part of the body. You don't want to destroy that part of the body. It's working against itself. It's not in its right mind. When I get mad at myself often because I'm not like Dwayne. I don't know how to fix anything. I was expressing to my son the other day, I said, "Now, son, I think you have dad's problem. You have a really good heart, but you have no talent. And so when you want to fix something, go buy a ticket to the movie until you lose the feeling, then come home." And that's what I said. And my wife's shaking her head, and she understands. She's telling a story right now. Be nice. Just be nice. Okay. So, but you see what I'm saying? So, not thinking of projects I've done. I've hurt myself. And then I get mad at myself. You know, it's like you hit your finger. So is it this hand I'm mad at, or was it the dumb finger that got in the way that shouldn't have been there at that time? So which part was wrong? So let's just say I blame the finger and I got all mad at it. And again, you know what, I'm going to cut it off, chastise it. My goodness, I'm going to stop the bleeding. I'm going to go get the ice. I'm going to do whatever I can because I need to take care of this because it's going to sure make all this feel a lot better. And I need this to be healthy for everything else by the grace of God to be healthy. Now, he gives us that, and that's a simple thing, and we know that. How much more valuable are the joints of his body that's forever, that's especially the joints of the body of the bridegroom? That's why we care for one another. And this is why, and you notice as it says here, the submitting of yourselves, praise God, one to another in the fear or the awe of the Lord, in his wondrous love of who he is. And understanding in the awe of who he is, I'm submitting to the head, and here's the glorious body. And I'm part of it. How could I not want to submit myself to that? And I thank the Lord. This is where he has us. Now, so then you come from that, and we thank the Lord that in that submitting, there's that worshiping that we worship. And thank God we worship together and all those different things. But look what happens there. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So see, we have this submitting, and then there's this surrendering as well too. And we thank God for that. And think about what this is telling us. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we're one in him. And we are a rib portion and a company together. But I thank God, as he has us here, we operate, in a sense, individually, as unto our husband. All right? There's one wife for the Lamb of God. But I love how it's encouraging us, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Do you see that? That's that submitting, each of us individually. I cannot rely upon you. You understand that? I need to surrender and submit to him on my own. I'm thankful that we are here, and what it is we run to him. We run to him. And as we run to him, we run together. And there is that oneness that God gives us. But we see here that there's an encouragement to each of us individually. This is our walk with him. Thank you, Lord. Now in that, we submit. And as a wife to him, we let him have us. All of the needs of the husband, praise God, they're all met by him. And he needs us, and I love that. She's a virtuous woman to him. She trusts him completely. I thank God in this, brothers and sisters, that as we submit to him and as we allow him to have us, and again, that he alone is our head, we become fruitful and we become useful to him. That's what a vessel is. She is the one that is useful, praise God, to the husband. And that's why, by the grace of God, we can interact together as spouses. That's the truth. That's how we interact together as the spouses. We are collectively one body, but we're the wives, in a sense, of the husband. So our fellowship is in this bridal truth. Our fellowship, praise God, is in this encouragement of we have that husband. I think of it very often of, you know, the ones that would have, you know, back in that day, David had different wives, all right? And those wives, by the grace of God, you would hope that they would work together and love together, that they loved, hallelujah, that one husband. Amen. And we thank God as David, I was thinking about whether it was with Bathsheba or with Abishag, you know, it's expressed such a bond and a love in that regard. And they had the one husband. All right, let's move on to verse 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. So we're seeing in all of these things, and yes, there's great encouragement here that we can take on a natural service on the surface of it as husbands and wives and the interaction and all those things. And we can talk about it as a list, and I'll tell you, if that's how you're going to go about a marriage, you're going to fail. It's going to be a disaster because it's not about a list. It's about love. And it's about honoring, and it's about honoring God, and it's about him being first in your life. And brothers and sisters, especially as what we have in this place, we have all truth, and we have this bridal message. And I'll tell you, you want to be the best husband, you want to be the best dad, you want to be the best wife and all of that, go fully after Christ. Really go after him. He'll change everything. And I thank the Lord, and you put that in your home, and it's amazing what will be built up in that house, I'll tell you, that won't be divided. So in verse 23, it says again, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. He's our head. Hallelujah. And he's our head as to one wife. His thoughts are our thoughts. Hallelujah. It is his mind. And we're talking about the mind of the bridegroom, Jesus. Amen. The bridegroom, Jesus. What he expects with his wife. What he expects with his queen. She rules and reigns with him now. This is the glory, praise God, that we know that we have with him and that we have for him. And it's just a matter of time for it to be made manifest. So we thank God in faith we operate. We operate in faith this way. With the mind, praise God, of the bridegroom Jesus. And that bridegroom Jesus mind is Paul's gospel. Yes, it is. And it's one. It's one praise. It's one spirit. Hallelujah. It's unity of the spirit. It's the bond of perfectness. It's tightly fit. It's compacted together. And it's all in love. Praise the Lord. That's our headship. And that's our headship as this body. And that is the headship of his reigning and this glory and the bridegroom's thoughts to us. That's why we're joyful. Because we're loved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in love with us. He is our husband. We have joined with him in matrimony because of the gospel of Paul. That was the proposal. That was the proposal. Thank you, Lord. And we entered into that proposal individually. And by saying, I do, we collectively come out as one. And this is the mind, hallelujah, it's right here, it's the gospel, praise the Lord, of Paul. That's what it is. We thank the Lord. This is our speak. This is our occupying. Amen? This is our, as the Word of God says, our conversation, our manner of life. Yeah. We're the Esther in the palace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. Verse 24. Keep it moving here. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in what? In everything. In everything. So we're subject, brothers and sisters, in everything to the headship of the husband, the bridegroom Jesus, Paul's gospel. That dictates and controls everything. Yes, it does. That's it. That's why there's no other gospel. There's no other husband. We have been espoused to that one husband. That's why we fight the good fight of faith for this message. We're in love. That it's in love with us, and we're in love back with it. And we defend it. We stand with it. Honor. Praise that name. We're in love with Him. And I thank God, that's the oneness, that's the bond of perfectness. That's why we're that little band, we're like two armies. Huh? The warrior and the lover. And to really fight, you gotta love. And if to really love, you gotta fight. It always takes that. That's how it works, and we know that. So as the church, praise God, is subject, let the wives be subject. Espoused to one husband, the wives in the church, chaste virgins to him, letting the Lord and his grace have his way with you. His grace have his way. His grace have his way with this meeting. Not our works, not our thoughts. No, No, not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. There's no schisms in the body. It's one. One. All right? And it honors all the joints of it. It encourages. And praise God. Here's why. Here's why all this works. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So see how it continues. See, it gives us about the husbands love your wives because that's an understanding that we have naturally speaking. We okay? All right. That's how we can have an understanding naturally speaking. But we thank God what happens here is that he tells us so sweetly what this is all about. It says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. We need to hear that because he always loves us. He always does. He's loved us since ages past. But that's the word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God commands. The word of God directs. And this is why, as the wife of the Lamb of God, we need to understand and receive this, brothers and sisters, that we can't be separated from it. This is the will of the Father. This is the Father speaking to his Son and saying, Son, it's not good for man to live alone. You will have your wife. She will come out of you. She's always been in you. And you will love her. And she'll be brought to you. Starting to see how this is? See, this is what's so amazing about the Godhead. You wouldn't think of a God like this. But he's the God that made man. He's the God that gave us romance. He gave us courtship. He gave us desire and passion, longing. That's who made you. And he made us in his own image. He did. Understand that. That's why we're different to him. This is why he spoke everything else but with us. This is why he took man and he made him, breathed into him, gave him that soul. You see? And then he said, he's become one of us. Remember that with Adam? He's become like us. All right. So, the husband's love is worth it all. That's what this is saying. It's worth everything. And this is, we're the benefactor of that. We're the beneficiary of that. We receive this freely, this incredible grace of God's plan that he brought forth. This is God. This is the word of God that's true, that will last and abide forever. This is our part in that word. He gave everything to have us, brothers and sisters. And he gave everything to have us alone. That's what verse 26 is. Why did he do this? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, that's why husbands love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The water by the word. So it was to sanctify us, to set us apart. He's ravished. This is a jealous God. And he loves us with a godly jealousy. And we are vessels only for the master. That's why all of those precious stories. Ruth, you go put Ruth only in my field. That's right. That's why Solomon said about Abishag. Right, mom? Oh, just give her? Well, let me tell you something about her, mom. This is how sanctified and set apart she is to me. If I don't have her, I don't have a kingdom. Now, you would say, Solomon, that's crazy. You've got a kingdom. You've got other wives. I don't have it without her. Why would that crazy story be in the Word of God if Christ Jesus isn't sitting at the right hand of God and saying in your heart, I will not take that throne, Father, without her? Do you see that? That's what this is. Without Paul's gospel, without understanding the bridal message, yes, you know what? The Bible has a lot of kooky stuff. But then when you see Paul's gospel, it just lines up because you see that all of these stories that might be a little silly to some is all because of love. And love, believe it or not, is kind of silly. It can be. It's whimsical. It's magical. It's supernatural. This is how he interacts with the lover. And that's why my heart hurts for folks that have heard this gospel for years and years and years and years, and it'll just sit there like a bump on a log and not have one quiver of an expression of a magical love. And I wonder, did you ever get it? All right. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. See, it's all about him. He does the sanctifying. He's going to do the presentation. And he's going to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
but that it should be holy and without blemish. Chaste, once again, only in love with him. Only in love with him. I want you to think again about a marriage when you're really in love with somebody. Did you get there and say, well, let's see here. I need a checklist. Did you ever do this? Do you do this? Did you not do this? Did you do this? Are you in love with me? That's the only check I had. Because I'm sure in love with you. You see what I'm getting at there? You see what the Word of God is getting at? It's not about the outward appearance. It's about the heart. Is the heart making melody to itself? Are you encouraging yourself and to the Lord? Or did you need everybody else to encourage you? I want to encourage you. Don't get me wrong. But the encouragement I can give to you is speak to yourself this. Sing the song of his love to yourself. Make melody in your heart to God. I don't have a position for you in the church to keep you busy. I want you to be busy singing about how great a love wherewith you are loved by the bridegroom Jesus. So he's going to present the wife to himself. The husband goes and catches her away at night to himself. She is his glory. She is the glory, the wife in the church, chaste only unto him, no other gospel. First, love abiding. There it is. And then more of his love to us in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. He loves us as himself. We are of him. We are in him. We are one with him. She is his own body. We're talking about this verse for verse, but it's going to conclude in just a second. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So just in case you've drifted back into a natural state in this, it ain't about that. Get to the end of the story and then you'll understand the beginning of it. This is all about Christ in the church. This is what's so amazing. He loves her completely, in complete oneness, supplying everything to her. The bond of perfectness, the rib in Adam, it was always there, hidden only unto him, and then will be made manifest. That's what's happening right now. She's there. She's always been there. And she's in that wounded side right now. And someday, he's going to take her out. He's going to present him to himself. And after all that, then he'll make known to all that I have loved thee. Then, and only then, praise his name. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished, cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. So again, he does everything. He's assuring us that it's grace, that we are his workmanship. Can you see that? Can you hear that? I've got you. I just love you. I'm doing it all. Trust me. Trust me. I'm the head. Trust me. I'm the head. The head makes every decision, supplies every thought and need to his own body. We are members one of another in him. That's what it says in verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh my. Again, the rib that was taken out of Adam to make his wife. Do you see how beautiful this is? We are of him. We are in him. That's why we are his workmanship. Rest. Just rest. The head does all that wonderful supplying. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And it's even the more great surpassing love wherewith he loved us. Verse 31. So for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So this proves, brothers and sisters, this proves that Jesus left everything to have us. Jesus left everything to be joined unto us. He had to make manifest us in Christ in all things. This is how glorious this is. Once again, Him, the plan of God, the Father saying, Son, this is yours. You shall not be alone. We're going to bring that out of you. Praise God. Receive it. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. In case you didn't know, that's what this is about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Quit going in there and trying to figure out your natural marriage. Cut it out. Pick back up your head now. How many times have we all done that? It's much, much more. And you receive the supplying in this, and then you'll have a marriage here. You really will. But brothers and sisters, see, this proves the mystery. This proves the metaphor of all these things we've been reading about. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. That's what I'm speaking about here. All right? This is the calling and the calling out of the glory in the church. This is calling to us, brothers and sisters, come unto me out from among the camp. This is the calling to us to rise up, my love and my fair one, and come away. We need to continue how we're going to come away. We need to step out in more grace all the time. All the time. Lord, get me out of my comfort zone. Get me out of my little box of parameters that I lived my life, even knowing this truth. Lord, help me. Help me to leap. To leap and to grow and to go on. That's all of us, always. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So if there was anything that the Lord gave you on a side note, well, by the way, for your marriage, love and respect one another. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Just read it for what it is. But finishing on that, the love and the reverence never ends between the bride and the groom. And that's everything. He first loved us. It's love, and he loves, and he loves. And you know what we do? We reverence him for it. We're in awe of him for it, aren't we? We're just in complete surrender, submission, thanksgiving, and praise and glory to him for that. See, that's what we give him because of his love to us. And this great love that he said, I've given not only my life, I've given not only everything, not only was I made sin for you who knew no sin, honeys, it's... I did it for my sake because I'm in love. You don't get this. It was my privilege to do it. It's my joy to do that. I don't want you to feel bad about it. I want you to just embrace it and to thank God our Father that this was his plan, because it's such a glorious plan that I had the privilege to love you like this. Because look what I've got. He was skipping around thanking the Father for those disciples that were just going to turn him on him in 4 minutes. And he was beside himself. Oh, Father, look what you've given to me. How much more so his wife? How much more so is his wife? Is he thankful for the joy that was set before him? He endured the cross. And this is it. It's just that love and that love and that love. And that's why the Lord Jesus said earlier on in Ephesians that we would know what? The love of Christ. And those dimensions that are just infinite. This is what this is speaking of. And walk in that love. And abide in that love. And grow in that love.
Flourish in that love. Become fruitful in that love. Let that love truly make love to you. He is the most beautiful, gracious, merciful, supplying everything. And in that, we give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise that he has so enriched us freely with all grace to return unto him 100-fold. Oh, thank you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. Oh, we thank you. Just glory. Lord, we just, again, growing in the amazement of your love. Lord, we just ask, continue to feed us, Lord, just fully. Lord, help us to go on. We need it. We know that you alone are faithful. You alone are true. But God, oh, who is able, and oh, are you able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And we know that you keep that which we have committed unto you against that day. Lord, we know it's you, and we know that you are for us. Thank you for all these lives, Jesus, and my life included, that have fallen in love with the one that is in love with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.